Blog Talk Radio.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah, wahdahu la sharika lahu, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Assalamu alaikum. This is Martha Nyla Williams with the Know Me, Know Me Institute, a 24-hour human developmental process and a foundation for learning based on God's Word. We greet everyone with greetings of peace. Assalamu alaikum. This is your host, Martha Nyla Williams, as I seek refuge with the one God, the Creator. I say, with Allah, the one God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, I give open testimony that Allah is the one God and there are no partners with Allah, and that Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, is a servant and messenger of Allah. Again, greetings of peace. It's been a long, long time. I'd say about 3 months. And to be exact, it's been about 3 months. And what we want to do to welcome ourselves back to this process, there we have been involved with the community-wide Shura conference. What is that, you might ask? For those of you who do not know, you know what the word community is, a group of people with common ideas, common interests, common goals, common mission and vision in life, a community. So the unity is there, though there is a diverse gathering, or diverse ideas, group of ideas that form this community. It is the same as a body, B-O-D-Y, a body, a human body. And the body exemplifies what a community looks like. Everything working for the purpose of the one whole. Working for the purpose of the whole. So we have the head, and we have the torso, and we have the legs, and we have the feet, and we have the arms and the hands. So likewise with the community, there are many, many people doing various things to make the community be one body unit. And that body, when it moves coordinately and it moves uniformly. So it is not the one foot going in one direction and the other foot going in the other direction. What is foot? It is the balancer of the community. The mover, the movement, the walker of the community. And how does the community walk? It walks, or it is propelled by its knowledge base. So the foundation of its knowledge has to be that which moves it, that which stabilizes as well as moves. So the community is established upon a particular noteworthy I won't say motto, but a noteworthy aim and purpose. And that purpose is to be an open servant to the one, the Almighty. That is the purpose of a community. And so tonight, as we look at our information that we shared to say what is to be discussed for tonight. We'll share that with you briefly here, if we can get it to come up. We did have some audio, but it's not coming up right now. So what we will do, we'll continue on here. Okay, looking at our studio. We don't expect that anyone would know to call in right now because it has been a while But perhaps we'll get back into being noticed and live and on air in everyone else's arena. Okay. All right. So starting out, we realize that a community has to be based on something that is truly upright, something that is humanly concerned. And we say that because when we think of any city, any county, any state, any neighborhood, when we think of that, then we think of the states that are connected, the cities and the neighborhoods and the cities and the counties are connected as well, and all working for the benefit of what the whole overall purpose is, working for that benefit. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal, are created and endowed with certain inalienable rights, and some of those rights being one of those rights being the pursuit of happiness, the openness for pursuit of happiness, and how I want to achieve that. Well, everyone, you know, when we think about our interests, when we think about what it is that we personally like to do, all we know is that we have this desire, this personal interest. But when we ask ourselves, where did it come from? And it will stop us in our track because we will have to think about it. Where did our interest come from? Some may say, well, it's because my uncle did such and such, and or my auntie did such and such, or my mother did such and such. But it is not strictly because of that. It is primarily because the Creator of all life has granted us this opportunity. So here we are, and we expect to do good in whatever area of expertise that we want to share of tonight, with tonight. And not only all of it tonight, but starting out. So again, we welcome you to this presentation from the Know Me, Know Me Institute. And right now we're going to share, there's a talk that has already been given that I'd like to share with you all. And let me bring this up. Okay. It is a pre-recorded sharing, but perhaps I should hold on 1 second. Well, this is Imam Waruddin Muhammad. And many of you are familiar with Imam Waruddin Muhammad, Rahim Allahu Alayhi. The mercy of Allah be upon him. He served a time, and he served in a time when, well, just like anyone else, much was going on, and a change was needed. A change was necessary. So I'm going to ask you to think back into 1975 and what was happening and how the country was going. Now, who was president in 1975? Who had become president? We know that. I believe Henry Nixon, because of Henry Ford taking on after Richard Nixon, has served up to 1972, and then Henry Ford served from then until he finished out President Nixon's term, and then he himself served, and then went into the years of, who served after Ford, Carter, and then from Carter, 1980, for 8 years, was President Ronald Reagan, from 1980 to 1988, or 1981 to 88. But nonetheless, I believe Carter served from, 74 to 78? Trying to get a cramp in my leg. 1974 to 78, or 76 to 80, excuse me, getting it mixed up here. So here we are. In that time period is what I'm trying to focus in on with Imam Warthdin Muhammad, Rahimullah Ali, being elected into, elected into serving the Nation of Islam in 1975. And as he was elected to serve, following the mindset of the people at that time, everyone was so endowed with and enamored with a leadership that called for ones to be followers and following a belief that said that ones were gods, right? That ones were gods. So let's see if we can listen to Imam Fahim Shuaib on the legacy of the lecture of Imam Warthdin Muhammad. One moment, let me get the sound just right.
Actually, not just to talk about his past, but to talk about how we can live out an example in the present. And understanding his contributions to the country, his religion, and humanity. I think that the point of lecture series isn't just, again, to memorialize, but also to think critically and to build on a person's legacy. You have this fourth lecture, the Abu Sa'id lecture. And I think this is a great starting point to talk seriously about some of the basis which gave us an opportunity to have this lecture series.
his father actually was a friend of Imam Khomeini's mom. Right? So it's through this friendship, right, in terms of how he met him in Chicago and the relationship that they formed with each other, that also gave, I think, the impetus to Imam Sultan to recognize Imam Muhammad as the leader and the man that he is. So we should understand that this didn't come out of nowhere. This actually just kind of emanated from a friendship that basically was founded with Imam Muhammad and Imam Sultan's father. So praise be to Allah. This is the kind of thing that Imam Muhammad, Rahim Allah, made before he left. He said, brothers should be friends. He said, brothers should be friends. And this gives me an opportunity to say to you that the brother that I'm about that we're about to hear from, I'm not going to introduce him, we're going to have somebody else introduce him, but the brother that we're about to hear from, he is one of my imams, but more importantly, he's one of my friends. Imam Fahim Shuaib, to each other a couple of times, and in terms of, he just reminded me of a book he said that we produced, that he read about, you know, Warren's cultural research and development before he met me. But then he met my sister before he met me, all right?
Yes.
You know, my sister entered off before he met me. And then when I traveled out to the West Coast, you know, we had an opportunity to spend some time with each other. And Imam Shuaib and my family almost sound like come together as family now, to tell you the truth. Because his daughter is being mentored, am I correct, by my sister.
Yes.
Right? So all of that is kind of winding into this beautiful community, which now has become a family. So, and then, I think the first time we were here, Dan was here from the beginning, and my wife met Dan, and my wife was so impressed with Dan. She said, you know, that brother that was here, Dan, he's such a nice young man. He's such a nice young man. He says, and he's Muslim, too.
Project, a national interface project comprised of A-list
intellectuals, professionals, religious leaders, and career diplomats. He has addressed hundreds of audiences over the 35 years on a wide range of topics, including religion, world politics, human relationships, and society evolution. At that time, he's traveled the country researching and developing leadership and advancement achievement of technology. He amassed away from over 30 years of media experience, television, radio, and print. This combined with extensive background as an administrator in both public and private sectors has enabled him to deliver a full spectrum of lectures and seminars and workshops. He's also a lifelong student, and you've all heard this, you've always said this. He's a lifelong student of UNAM W.D. Muhammad Miller. He's also the founder of Clarium, that's the Muslim American Research Institute, advocating marriage, and the Sacred Life Project, which is a public certification project focused on language, logic, and the legacy of Imam W.D. Muhammad. His lectures have been a source of inspiration to elementary, high school, and college students across the country. He has been a part of several delegations that have taken him around the globe on various education, religious, interfaith, and peace missions. He's been part of a delegation to Rome, Italy, the Sudan, Malaysia, Egypt, and the Caribbean. I present to you, Imam Fahim Shari.
It's one of my high, high, when
Elon's treatment of that word, right?
You, when we're taught how to read S-C-I-E-N-T-I-S-T, how are we to pronounce it? Scientist. But in ours, what is it in? A scientist is a scientist. Someone who has the ability to see into the object of this. So, who's this? So to begin with, to look into that object, and actually, Pimla itself is actually abstract for the particular swath of the chiasm from the distance that we are. The concrete is the chiasm and the black stone. That's the concrete. When we call it fibula, we've already abstracted it with its orientation. Okay? This is about Imam Mahdi Muhammad, his legacy, his life, his life. That's what this is about.
All right, everyone. This is probably not recorded loudly enough. But what you were hearing, a little of, was Imam Fahim Shuaib. Well, they were at the university, Princeton University. And just to give you a background on Princeton University, let's see. Princeton is in New Jersey. I was about to say New Jersey, Florida. Princeton University. Let's see, the history of it. I know he called the names like Imam Newman. Okay. And reading on the history the history of Princeton University. There's a symbol, and there's a little feature of a young lady, little lady, holding a flag of Princeton. Now, Princeton was chartered in 1746 as the College of New Jersey. The name by which it was known for 150 years. Princeton University was British North America's fourth college. Again, Princeton University was British North America's fourth college, located in Elizabeth for 1 year and then in Newark for nine. Newark, New Jersey. The College of New Jersey moved to Princeton, New Jersey, in 1756, 10 years later. It was housed in Nassau Hall, which was newly built on land donated by Nathaniel Fitz Randolph. Nassau Hall contained the entire college for nearly half a century. Now, in Nassau Hall, you can imagine what a hall is. Now, in 1896, when expanded program offerings brought the college university status, the College of New Jersey was officially renamed Princeton University in honor of its host community of Princeton. 4 years later, in 1900, the graduate school was established. Now, let's talk about that. That means it was a school, but it was not a graduate school. It was an educational center. And though it was chartered in 1746, one studied, and they studied heartily. And it didn't matter that it wasn't a group of buildings all built and decorated, adorned with features of whatever it stood for from its British home base. But what it was, apparently, it was knowledgeable individuals that came together to make this become from a college to a new university. Nassau Hall was the scene of meetings of the Continental Congress in the spring and fall of 1783. A beautiful adorned hall, I must add, too. But then it was for the Continental Congress. That's of the United States, of America. And that was in the spring of 1783. Princeton cherub, which is a tree, is calling out the Princeton skyrocket cheer on a 1909 postcard created by an unknown artist. Cherub, that is a tree, isn't it? A cherub. Okay. Let's go to some of his archives. And like I say, we may have to redo this presentation. Okay. Yes, because I'm not looking at. Okay. The program in history of science.